Well, we're going to turn to God's word now, and Cal is going to... Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, yeah. It's going to come... Thank you, Cal.
On 1239 of the Bibles, and it's Revelations 8. That's page 1239. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel, who had a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Then the seven angels, who had the seven trumpets, prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down on the earth. A third of the earth was burned up, a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and the third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the three angels." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Matala, please do keep your Bibles open there. I was planning to go into chapter 9 today as well, but... We're just going to do chapter 8. You sat there going, woo! Well, let's pray and ask for God's help, shall we? Father God, thank you for your words. Thank you for these visions that you gave to John all those years ago. Thank you that they're still true today and that you still speak to us through them. And we pray, Lord, that our hearts and minds will be ready to hear from you, to receive from you, to be encouraged and challenged by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder, when was the last time you cried out to the Lord? How long? How long, O Lord? This morning, perhaps? Last week, last month, last year? How long, O Lord, do I have to put up with this painful leg? How long, O Lord, are those Christians going to be persecuted in Nigeria? How long, O Lord, are greedy world leaders going to cause mayhem in our world? How long, O Lord, before that recurring sin in my life is finally put to bed? How long, O Lord, before Jesus comes back? How long, O Lord? And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, I'm sure that sentiment of how long, O Lord, has been on your heart and mind many a time. But here's the thing. It's also a thought that Christians in heaven have as well. Please look with me back at chapter 6 and verse 9 and 10. Chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" These are Christians who are sat in the throne room of heaven, under the altar, with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they're thinking of all the evil that had been done to them on earth, and all the evil that was still being done on earth. And they cried out to God, "How long, O Lord? Make this right. We long for justice. We cry out for justice." But even as they sat in heaven, there was part of them that was going, "It feels like a distant dream. How long, O Lord, until this happens?" And they pray to him. They cry out to him. And as we come to chapter 8 today, God, first of all, wants to reassure us that God hears their prayers for justice. That he hears our prayers for justice. And our first point this morning, the Lord hears our cries for justice. The Lord hears our cries for justice. Please look at me at chapter 8 and verse 3. Another angel, who had a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand. Now, in the Old Testament, in the temple, the burning of incense was used as a part of worship to the Lord in the temple to be a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Well, here, it's as if the vision is intermixed as the smoke rises up to the Lord. It's intermixed with the prayers of God's people rising up before him. Or as it says in verse 4, they went up before the Lord. God notices, God hears our prayers. And I bet every single one of us here this morning, if we're a praying person, will have stopped at some point when we've been praying and we thought, "Am I just talking into thin air?" I bet we've all been there. Well, let me reassure you, you're not. Your prayers really do go before the Lord. And this last week, I pushed the boat out and ordered a new pair of sliders, or flip-flops, for those who know it by that. And not just any old sliders, though. I was ordering some Croc sliders. Yeah, you didn't know I was that trendy, did you? Anyway, I made the order of the internet, and a few days later, a couple of blue t-shirts arrived from that company. And clearly, there'd been a mix-up in the warehouse. So what do? You try to get in touch with customer services. You find your order number, and you try to find the email, and you send an email, and press send, and then you wonder, will a customer services person see this email? Or how long will it take them? Or will anyone ever see it? Well, with God, we don't have to wonder. We know. Our prayers are heard by him. But going back into that throne room, it's even stronger than that, because who is being prayed for in Revelation chapter 8? What is being prayed for in Revelation chapter 8? Well, I think it has to be that prayer in Revelation chapter 6. How long, O Lord? It doesn't give us any clue, and that's the previous prayer that's been prayed, and especially with the judgment that's to come. So that's what's being prayed for there in chapter 8. But it's not just a question of God hearing. It's a question of, will God act? Will he use their prayers? Hear and respond to the cries of his children. And the answer, chapter 8 and verse 5. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashings of lightning, and an earthquake. Yes, the answer is in picture language, but the answer is yes. Justice is coming. It might not be the timing that you want, but it is coming. God hears and uses our prayers. And that's true of all our prayers. But remember, these are prayers particularly for God's perfect justice. He hears and uses them. And here's the thing, it's not prayers for my sense of justice or your sense of justice, because we all have a sense of justice, but mine's often wonky, sometimes very wonky. I don't know the motives behind someone else's actions. I might be able to guess some of them imperfectly, but I don't know them all. I don't know the circumstances of their lives or the evil that's been done to them, that they suffer themselves. I don't know. We don't know. They rarely know themselves. But God does. He knows it all, so we pray to him for perfect justice. And then comes a really hard bit. We leave it with God. He is heard. He will act. And this picture of praying for justice, prayers of justice rising before the Lord, it's a little linking section in Revelation. Last week, we finished off looking at the seven seals being opened. And we had the seven seals over a couple of chapters. And then this week, we're about to come in chapter 8 and verse 6 to seven trumpets. And we saw in the seven seals, time and again, the reality of God's justice, God's judgment, and the safety that could be found in Christ for those who are sealed by God. And then this week, we've got the seven trumpets. And in a moment, we're going to look at the first four trumpets. But first, a very brief reminder. I take it that these seals that we've had a few weeks before, and then these trumpets that we're about to look at now, are not talking about specific events in history, but they're talking generally about the time between Jesus' first coming and Jesus' second coming. And therefore, the seven trumpets are talking about the same period between the first coming and the second coming, again, but from a different angle. It's like an action replay in cricket. You see someone get caught out, and then what do they do on the TV? They show you a different camera angle of the same catch. I know it's not quite cricket weather yet, but it's getting there. So, but that's what's happening here. It's a different camera angle on that same period of time. So let's move into our second point today. And the Lord brings about justice on the world. The Lord brings about justice on the world. And following on from the summary that we had in verse 5, we get to verse 6. Please look with me at chapter 2 and verse 6. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down on the earth. A third of the earth was burned up, a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Now, do hail and blood and stuff like that, do they remind you of any other significant event in the Bible? In the Old Testament, perhaps? It's not rhetorical. Exodus. The 10 plagues, that's right, which fell on Egypt as part of Exodus. And therefore, we get the hail and the blood. Then after the second trumpet, we get the blood again. The fourth trumpet, we get the darkness. I know it's not part of our reading today, but the fifth trumpet, we get locusts. The sixth trumpet, we get told about plagues. Now, the events with these trumpets, they don't match the plagues perfectly from Exodus. But they match a good number of them, enough to arouse our interest. And therefore, we think back, what did God do in Exodus and the 10 plagues? Well, he brought justice on the Egyptians who had enslaved God's people. He rescued God's people from slavery. And we saw Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who knew God was behind it all, but what did he keep on doing? He kept hard in his heart. So we come back to the trumpets. And what should we expect as God's justice comes on the world? For God to be rescuing his people from slavery. To be God bringing about justice on those who deserve it. For some people's hearts to even be hardened against God. Even with the devastation going on around them. But God adds another response in Revelation. And it comes at the end of the sixth trumpet. So we're just going to flick on to chapter 9 and verse 20. Just flick on to chapter 9 and verse 20. This is after the sixth trumpet. Chapter 9 verse 20. The rest of mankind who were not killed by the plague still did not repent of their words, of their hands. They did not stop worshipping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone and wood. Idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. There was a lack of repentance. People will still harden their hearts. But then you flip the coin over as well, and there's still a chance for repentance. As C.S. Lewis once said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. God's justice, wildfires, droughts, they're our justice, and they're also signs to wake the world up. Now, sadly, many in our world look for every other possible explanation other than God, don't they? But it's there. Wake up. Meant to make people think. Let's move on to the second trumpet, back into chapter 8 and verse 8, please. Chapter 8 and verse 8. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain all ablaze was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea was turned into blood, a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Now, mountains in the Old Testament, again, were often nations that were objects of God's judgment. Not just a single nation, there was many. But it wasn't just the nation, was it? It was the world as well, because it impacted the sea, the shipping lanes, the amount of food available. And then the third trumpet in verse 10. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. Loads of fresh water was no longer fresh. It had become bitter. Wormwood in the Old Testament is a bitter substance that made water undrinkable. And whether there is literally a star falling from heaven is not the big point. Judgment is coming. Many of the waters are going to be poisoned, and many people will die. I just want to pause here for a moment and ask ourselves a question. Do you honestly think that God's justice, God's judgment, will result in people dying? Now, when we read Revelation, when we're reading a passage like this and the passages of the previous few weeks, it's easy to think that. But what about other times when you're not reading Revelation? When you think of God's justice, do you think of death as part of that? I'm not sure we do very often. I'm not sure I do. But I don't think it should surprise us. We're just going to flip back in our Bibles. The passage is going to come up on the screen to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. When God was speaking to Adam in the Garden of Eden, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat it, you will certainly die." If you eat what God says not to eat, you will die. And we might be tempted to think, "God, I know you've said that's what will happen, but does the punishment really fit the crime? All he did was, Adam and Eve did was eat that piece of fruit." Oh yes, the punishment does fit the crime, because yes, eating the fruit in of itself wasn't a big deal. It's what it demonstrated in Adam and Eve's heart. A desire to live life as they wanted. I think, "I know better than God." A desire to be like God. And also a reversal of actual reality. Now, if I was this morning just to stick my tongue out to everybody, you might think it's a bit cheeky. Some of you might think, "Ooh, that's a little rude." But if King Charles was sat here and I was to stick my tongue out at him, it would be exactly the same action. Jill's just thinking about giggling at the thought. But it would be exactly the same action, but it would be a much bigger deal because of who King Charles is. To do so to God would be on a whole different plane, bigger than we realize. And our sins, they're so much more serious than just sticking out your tongue. Without Christ, God's perfect justice rightly demands death. Let's be confident about this. It's not our justice, it is God's justice, and he knows what he's doing. Then let's look briefly at the fourth trumpet, and please look with me at verse 12. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. Darkness, another sign of God's judgment. And did you notice how these first four trumpets, yes, human beings are affected. We get told in the third trumpet that a whole bunch of them die. But do you see, actually, primarily, these judgments are on the world, on creation itself. Humans' sin is so heinous that it breaks the world. We see that in Genesis 2 and 3. So why do we have tsunamis? Why do we have earthquakes? Why do we have droughts? Because of Mike Walton's sin. Not just mine, but all of humanity's. It is so serious. It doesn't just impact us, it impacts the world around us. The Lord brings about justice on the world. And quite simply, do we believe that? Do we pray for it? Do we cry out, "How long, O Lord?" Do we pray for that day to come when Jesus returns? Because actually, that's how Revelation finishes. Chapter 22 and verse 20, it says this: "He who testifies these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. We long to see you face to face, to be in his glorious presence forever. But as he comes, Lord, may your perfect justice come too.'" Let's pray. Father, we do long for justice. We long for evils to be put right. We long for so much evil in this world to be put right. Whether it's big international things, whether it's sin in our own lives. Thank you, Father, that Jesus has borne the punishment for our sins upon his own shoulders on the cross. So we can stand here knowing that we don't have to fear your perfect justice, because we have found safety in Christ. But then, Father, we think of those we love around us. We think of the many that don't yet know Jesus. And yes, Lord, we long for them to find safety in Jesus as well. But we also do long for justice to be done, because that is right and proper. As we cry out, "How long, O Lord?" let us do so with confidence, knowing that you hear and use our prayers. And your judgment, as we've seen in previous weeks, is real in our world today, but it will be done 100% when Jesus returns. Help us to know that is a good thing, even when we find it hard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.